In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We're going to work through a little short sermon series this August, taken from the Adam Hamilton book, Why? I hate the why question. Oh, why do I hate why? Because it makes me think too much. Amen. Today is, why did the innocent suffer? It doesn't take a whole lot of looking to find evidence of suffering in this world. You don't have to look very hard. You don't have to look very long. And for that matter, in so many ways, you don't even have to look outside of this room. Ooh, there's a piece of truth for you. You don't have to look hard for human suffering. And it doesn't take much to understand that most of us in our times of greatest suffering, first thing we say is, why, God? Why did the deer have to jump out of the cornfield? Why did my sister have to get cancer? Why did my brother have to do this? Why did this have to happen to this person? Why did their tornadoes tear through the middle part of our country and tear up everything? Why, God, did these two churches burn, one in Arkansas and one in Pennsylvania? Historic churches older than this one burnt right to the ground, everything gone. Why? These are God-fearing, good working people. These are people who do your will and read your word and try to live their lives in the way that you have told them to do. Why? Why that car accident? Why that diagnosis? Why that natural disaster? Why? We try to justify it. We try to make it work. And we say, well, if God was truly just and loving and truly a just God and a loving God, well, he wouldn't let that happen. So he can't possibly be all-knowing or all-powerful because he would have stopped it. Or the reverse. If God truly were all-powerful, then he could stop that evil. But that means he's not just or loving, and it can't possibly work together. We try to bargain with God. We try to make it work in our brains and say, well, it must have been God's will. I must not have been good enough. It seems to me we talked about that. That's not how God's will works. Our disappointment with God in the face of our suffering or in the face of tragedy or in the face of illness is because we have in our mind how it's supposed to work. God's supposed to work the way we want God to work. Ooh, does that sound familiar? God's supposed to work the way we want him to work. Now, that's not how... Well, you put it like that, that's not what I learned in Sunday school. That's not what I read in my Bible. But that's the first place we go. God doesn't work the way I want him to. We look to the Bible for help and for sustaining and for encouragement and a bit of hope that we're missing. And what do we find? We don't find the message that says, no, if you're good, you won't suffer. If you are a truly godly person, then all suffering will be passed. No, that's not what we find. We find Job. We find Abraham and Sarah. We find Jesus in the wilderness. We find Jesus on the cross. We find Christians being persecuted in that early church. What do we find? We find people who are suffering, and they hold on to their hope and their faith anyway. So why is it? Why is it that they suffer? Why did the innocent suffer? Why doesn't God just fix it? Why doesn't God just wave his magic wand, make it all go away? Because, friends, God doesn't work like that. See, in our first scripture reading, we get to the sixth day of creation, which is God, when God created all the living things and he created humanity in their own image. That's a sermon for another time. And he gave humanity dominion over creation. He put it in their charge. He put it in our charge. He says, I've created you as a higher being in God's image. And you now are in charge of the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals of the land and the plants of the fields and all this good stuff. It's not to point fingers and say we suffer because it's our own darn fault, though it would be easy for people to go there. Because God, in amongst everything else, created us to have free will and the freedom to choose. He gave us the freedom to say, this is right and this is wrong. And because he values that freedom and he understands, all-knowing God, Adam and Eve in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people would say, if God didn't want them to eat from it, why did he put it there? Because he gave them the choice. Because he gave them the choice. God gives us freedom to make those choices. God gives us dominion over the earth, but he doesn't leave us to our own devices. Nature's laws are nature's laws. Things happen in an order because that's the way they go. We get to make choices. We're not driven by instinct like the animals. That's what separates us from the four-leggeds, as a minister in my past used to say. Okay, so that's why suffering happens or how suffering happens, but why is it the innocent that suffer? Why is it those who do good? Why is it they're the ones that suffer? Because our Bible is not filled, because our God does not work in a way where he takes away the suffering or he takes away the consequences of our choices or the choices of someone else. God doesn't say, you're never going to suffer. If that was the case, why did Jesus come? Jesus, who was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted. Jesus, who was on the cross for however many hours he was on the cross. Jesus, who walked this earth and felt our own human suffering and lived the human condition. Jesus, who came and died and rose again to save us from our shortcomings. It's not that God takes away the suffering or that God puts us in a bubble that says, suffering shall not pass this bubble. That's not how it works. But God sends us each other. And God empowers people by the Spirit. And God empowers people to go out and do good. And to reach out and be that hand in a time of suffering. So when a church burns down or a tornado goes through or a hurricane or a snowstorm or California where I went to seminary is burning up like it always does, he sends us. He sends PDA, the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. He sends the Red Cross. He sends people who know. When people in town or in the county here are suffering, he sends us to go shopping for the food pantries and to do shopping for and to gather the school supplies for those who can't do it or to, God forbid, adopt a duck so that kids still have fine arts abilities in this county. God uses people. Do I believe that God could go whoop and take it away? Yeah. Do I believe that God's going to? No. Why? Because if God worked like that, if God saw This is pretend. If God saw the suffering going down on the little earth, I believe God could reach down and pick up the little Lego guy and move him back here. He could. He's God. I believe that God could take the watch of time and roll it back so that that event didn't happen. He could. But I believe that he won't. Because if God worked like that, then God wouldn't need us. And God wouldn't have called us into existence. And God wouldn't have drawn us in the sand. And God wouldn't have sent Jesus. And God wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit to empower us and to inspire us to be God's hands and feet in this world. We are the ones who are given the calling. It's as Jesus said. After he returned from being tempted in the wilderness, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Suffering happens. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I almost guarantee that every person in this room, except for Henry, who is not old enough yet to understand, every person in this room has experienced suffering at one point or another. It is not for this world to say that one person's suffering is less than another person's suffering, because they aren't living that suffering. You live your own suffering, and you're the one who knows how much it affects you at whatever point. Every person's done it. It's part of the human condition. But the joy of being faithful people, the hope of being faithful people, God-serving people, is not that we will get through this world unscathed, but that we can pick ourselves up, dust off our scraped knees, and see where we can help. And more than that, when we're the ones laying on the ground, we can have the grace enough to let others serve us too. We don't walk this world alone. We don't walk this path alone. We weren't just set here and said, "Welp, you're on your own." Every person in this room is here for a reason. Because we don't do this by ourselves. There's a little bit of God light in every one of us. And when we put it together and when we share our God light with each other, we get a glimpse, not a full picture, but a glimpse of the hope that is promised. So when we find ourselves in that place of suffering, whether it be natural disaster or problems caused by somebody's choice, be it yours or someone else's, or illness, or any other suffering, may we truly remember who we are and whose we are. We are God's own. May we be big enough people to say, "Hey, I need help," when we need it, and to answer the call of help when it's asked. It might not get rid of suffering, and it might not solve the problem of why the innocent suffer, but it might lighten the burden just a little bit. Amen.